Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And here we sit on the first Wednesday in 19. And I want to urge you all to check out the 411 Show podcast. By the time I, you know, get everything in there, it'll be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of interviews and shows from the archive and et cetera, you know, artist interviews, books, the whole shebang. So my grandkids and my great-grandkids can know that when Jesus calls me in, that Granny did some work for a living. They be like, you did that? Yes, I did. I did. And I just really want them to, you know, so they won't think that I lived in vain.
Yeah.
And I'm not going anywhere, but I'm just saying, you know. Because I, you know, actually, what really, I know you brought this pot thing to my attention. Mm-hmm. And I was doing some research a couple years ago on my own, you know, family. I've been checking back and forth for years on that. And I saw from a newspaper in Atchison, Kansas, the Atchison Daily Globe, in the 1800-something. 1880 or something like that, 82. My would have been great grandmother used to write a column.
Wow.
I was like, shut up.
Wow.
Nobody ever said, you know, she's, it was like a black socialite thing.
Wow.
And I was like, I had no idea. You know, the colored ladies met and had on this outfit. I was like, what?
Wow. So you were able to go back and actually
read the article?
Yeah, I
saw the paper, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to bring it in so you could. I was like, take off my paper. And after I found her name and, you know, because my mom's grandparents had unusual last name. Yeah. And it was just tripped me out. I was like, oh, my God. So, you know, because I wondered where I always, the tree that I came from.
Take that and put a link to your website on that.
Oh, yeah, I could not.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's cool.
That would be great. So that way it keeps it connected to.
Yes, that was cool. It was just cool. Everybody did beautiful, looked lovely. And thank you for being with us. And we'll post a lot of photos. And our friends from the Tennessee Tribune.
That's right.
They have, is it this week's paper or last week?
It should be this week's.
There will be a page.
Yeah.
And you'll see the page of some.
I don't know, maybe.
Okay. That you'll see some of the photos.
Yeah.
And because they are a blessing every year, and they send someone. And this year they sent James, artist, and Janice Malone.
That's right.
And we had a lovely time seeing them. And Ramona Whitworth Wiggins, the photographer.
Miss Wiggins, that's right.
And Mrs. Wiggins and Mr. Wiggins.
That's right.
They were shooting as well, photos.
First time here as a married couple.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Yeah.
I called him John Whitworth Wiggins, because that's his wife's maiden name.
Okay,
you know?
So
I said, well, you got to carry her name just like she carries yours. That's how that works, you know, fair. He's learning that.
Yeah.
Well, it's because, see, you got experience, and I know I do,
because
I've been married multiple times. But, you know, that it turned about is fair play.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you can't, you know, it's no longer, you're not a single person anymore. So, and you know something else, too, and then we're going to go on to seriousness. I appreciate the Planet Creole show.
Oh, yeah.
They said a Saturday, they wished us personally a Happy New Year.
Aww.
I was driving, I said, I love y'all. Because you didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Let me guess, Fifi?
It was Joseph.
Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah.
I said, thank you. And it's good to know that I didn't even know it was coming.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just don't ever know. And I was like, oh, y'all so sweet. I love you. And I was just driving down the street, and I was like, I know her.
Yeah.
So thank them and all the rest of our hosts and co-hosts of our shows here on WFSK. We're blessed and highly favored. Anyway, 2019 is going to be a great year.
Yes, it is.
We have a lot planned as a unit here on the this broadcast as well as on this station. And we are grateful for a fabulous listening audience. And a lot of people sent me greetings and Christmas and holiday greetings and lovelies, cards, and just beautifuls, you know. And just the whole nine yards. I got a lot of sweetness.
All right.
Yeah, I did. And you know what? I think I need to tell the industry, the music industry, that university's closed. And we don't, you know, I got about 15 cards.
That came in
after, right? Because the university's closed, we don't get any mail.
Yeah.
So I got all my Christmas stuff from everybody during, and you just went and got the mail today because today the university's back.
Yeah.
So I opened all my Christmas lovelies on January 2nd.
Yeah.
So I need to tell everybody, don't send me anything past Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Or else I won't see it till.
Or a new Christmas song.
Right. Because it won't get played.
2 days before Christmas.
It won't get played.
Next year.
Yeah, I had like four or five albums in there. Okay, I'm like, sorry, y'all. You missed the deadline. Anyway, okay. Great subject last hour on customer service.
Sure.
Because customer service is important to all of us who work hard to get our money, particularly the people that work for the government who don't know where their next dollars are coming from.
Especially right now.
Mm-hmm. So this hour, our book is A Few Thousand Dollars, Sparking Prosperity for Everyone. Can y'all collectively say yeah, amen to that?
Hey, amen.
Everyone. Yeah. The majority of Americans do not have even a few thousand dollars to weather an unexpected illness, job loss, or accident. In fact, most Americans, including 80% of people of color, are locked out of the mainstream economy, unable to add their talents, work, and dreams, unable to share in the bounty. Without a nest egg, most Americans cannot invest in their future and the future of our country. Through saving, entrepreneurship, education, and home ownership, we can and we should do better.
Wow.
Now, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can and we shall, or should. Should is a big word. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Do better. So, in our book today that we'll be discussing with the guest here in about 5 or so minutes, in A Few Thousand Dollars, a longtime leader in the field of asset building, Robert E. Friedman, demonstrates how a few simple policy changes would address wealth inequality and build a better economy and a stronger country for us all. Ooh, and we all, that sounds good.
Uh-huh.
It sounds good, but can it be real, Lord? Can it be real? And he's got 6 chapters here. And in these 6, he addresses quite a bit and also gives stories of prosperity here. And, you know, when the church talks about prosperity, it's not so good.
Name and claim
Yeah. Put that dirt in your hand, you're going to have a house. Boom. I did it. I didn't.
Bible's prayer cloth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially for this donation.
Right.
Yeah.
And Moses sweat and all that. You know, like Elvis Presley sweat that y'all bought. but anyway, and wait a minute, what's the other one? The thing you lay over your shoulders, isn't that the prayer cloth?
Yeah.
And then there's the drink this water, this blessed oil or something like that.
Yeah.
And then what's the other ones?
There's some.
throw this salt over your shoulder.
Some dirt from Israel.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
straight from Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Y'all know. This crust came off of somebody's feet. Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, people have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And they usually come on late at night on BET.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, BET, don't be that desperate. But anyway, this book is not like that. These are actual people who actually are alive and breathing, and their stories are real. Donna Brazile's in here.
Oh, Donna. Yeah. She's back on the news, too.
She's in the book, too. But anyway, the chapters are wealth is number one, saving is number two, education is number three, home is number four, number five is business, and six is prosperity. So, we'll be getting into our book four today, and all in favor of a little true, real, not phony, fake, and lying prosperity, but some real, true prosperity, y'all. Put your hand on the radio. I'm just playing. I'm not serious. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry I got carried away. Anyway, while we were sitting there talking about crazy stuff. Okay, let's take a time out. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Happy New Year! Bobby Jones here, inviting you to check out the first Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown of 2019, where I'll be counting down the week's top 20 gospel hits. I'll also bring you some brand new music from Jonathan McReynolds and put the spotlight on Fred Hammond. You don't want to miss it. It's always a good time. The Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, the number one gospel countdown in the country.
You can catch my gospel show, the Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, every Sunday from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I am so happy to have Robert E. Friedman on on the show today. He is the founder and chair emeritus of Prosperity Now, not later, but now. And formerly the Corporation for Enterprise Developments, acronym CFED. It's a national economic development nonprofit founded in 1979. Now, I feel like I know you from somewhere. Is it television or you've been doing commentary or something? Is that you?
I don't think it's me on television. I haven't been up on television much. But I've been working around the economic development field for about 40 years.
Okay, well, maybe I read
and
something.
I really appreciate your having me on your show.
Of course. I think maybe I might have read something or seen your name somewhere. Now, your new book, A Few Thousand Dollars, of course, caught my attention immediately, sparking prosperity for everyone. And I just think the thought of that right now, and knowing that we're in a government shutdown, and people who were dependent on a check that they thought they would always have discovered that they don't have one. So this very first beginning of paragraph in the description on your book is unexpected illness, job loss, or accident, and us not being prepared. Holy cow! That's what's going on right now.
It is, for sure. And I, you know, I'm grateful for the theme of your show on empowerment. Mm-hmm. And I think we really need to talk about economic empowerment. And really, most Americans and a supermajority of people of color are confronted with debt. And, you know, the 54% of all Americans could not come up with an unexpected $500 bill in the event of an accident or illness without resorting to a lender, and often a predatory lender. You know, my basic thesis in the book, drawn from 40 years of practice and policy work and market adjustments on economic empowerment, is that people need a nest egg of at least a few thousand dollars so that they can remain stable in, you know, the event of an accident or illness, but even more, to be able to focus on a future better than the present and to plan and prepare for that future, and ultimately the ability to invest in themselves and their kids when only they believe.
Because these things are unpredictable. You don't have something telling you in advance that you're about to go down in flames or something is going to tragically happen, including weather. Related issues, and that seems to be has really hit a lot of people in the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's hit a lot of people in a lot of areas with you know, the various storms and flooding. It's also hit the economy. I mean, I think right now, you know, as I think, you know, whether a recession is coming or whether we continue to move along on the path we are, most Americans are really not in a very good position to participate in the economy and to reap rewards from that. And that's, I think, a lot because of the way we've structured the economy. One instance being the set of federal tax incentives for wealth, family wealth building, for home, business, education, retirement savings, or just plain, you know, sustainability savings. The federal government is spending in excess of $700 billion a year. That's almost more than the, you know, and it's about what we spend on defense, to incent American households to build their wealth. But we're doing it in a way that we reward the rich, miss the middle, and penalize the poor, who we've shown that given a reasonable opportunity, often with as little as a few thousand dollars, that low-income people even very poor people mm-hmm. will save, start businesses, buy and keep homes, mm-hmm. go to college, build the economy mm-hmm. the old-fashioned way mm-hmm. from the bottom up.
Well, and the system, have people over the years know they're benefiting from it, so they don't want to fix it? Is that kind of sort of what I'm gathering that's going on out here now?
Well, I think, you know, those who can afford lobbyists
yeah.
tend to drive the tax system,
mm-hmm.
and I think the rest of us tend to ignore it,
mm-hmm.
You know, thinking, well, it's so complicated, and, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with taxes,
mm-hmm.
But the greatest anti-poverty program of the last 30 years, 40 years has been the earned income tax credit,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, where we help folks who work when their earnings aren't enough.
Right.
I believe in the promise of this country mm-hmm. and the basic ethic that all people are created equal.
Amen.
And they deserve a decent chance,
mm-hmm.
and we will all do better if everybody has a chance.
Yeah.
The private sector does a fine job of generating inequality. Mm-hmm. We don't need government to subsidize mm-hmm. further wealth inequality.
No kidding. Well, so let me ask this question, being so you said that. What's your thought on the current administration's tax structure, because I feel like I don't think it, you know, in my stuff, I don't see it has helped at all. You know, these $20 or $18, you know, I don't, you know, but I see that the people got the tax breaks were, you know, the wealthiest who don't need the money, and the rest of us got kind of the shaft.
That's kind of the way I see it.
Okay.
I think also corporations, and particularly larger mm-hmm. and wealthier corporations, also got the benefits of it. I think the major problem with it is it really wasn't an investment
mm-hmm.
in the American people,
right.
in all people. It certainly wasn't an investment that recognized past injustice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite policy in our history
mm-hmm.
was and also, you know, the evidence on the tax bill is only now coming in. But it, whatever stimulus there was, didn't last very long. We're not in a very, very good shape now. And I believe even people and corporations who benefited from it
yeah.
kind of realized that. And again, you know, time will tell,
mm-hmm.
but I very much doubt, and all the current evidence is, that the $1 to $1.5 trillion
mm-hmm.
in debt we took on with that tax bill is not going to be paid for
mm.
by the tax system, and so we are in danger of further cuts, you know, to mm-hmm. crucial entitlement
mm-hmm.
programs
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and others, which will make the situation worse.
No question. So, Robert, when the middle class or the homeowners lost their deductions that they have depended on for so long, what's your thought on that? And were they the biggest losers in that tax cut?
I think certainly middle income, lower income, working people
mm-hmm.
did not benefit very much
mm-hmm.
from that tax cut,
mm-hmm.
And they should have.
Mm-hmm.
I think the greatest threat to our economy
mm-hmm.
now is
mm-hmm.
the fact that most people are locked outside of it
mm-hmm.
and can't, you know, that wages have recently have risen a little, but over 30 years
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
have stagnated.
Mm-hmm.
Working people are having a harder and harder time.
Mm-hmm.
And despite, you know, repeated evidence that given even a little opportunity, people will start businesses, create jobs, buy and keep homes, go to college, you know, create futures for themselves, their families, their communities, and the country, we're not heeding that. left. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, to make a couple points, point back to one of my favorite policies mm-hmm. in our history, mm-hmm. which had a dark side, but the GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we said to returning World War II GIs, you saved our country, mm-hmm. we will extend to you low interest, sometimes no interest, business, home, education, you know, college loans.
Mm.
And those GIs, in turn, drove our post-war growth.
Mm.
In a decade, we tripled the middle class
mm-hmm.
and turned the income distribution from a pyramid to a diamond.
Mm.
We helped generate, but really it was the abilities of all Americans, generated 220,000 businesses, 5 million new homeowners, mm-hmm. 9 million new college students. We democratized mm-hmm. education. Mm-hmm. I think we need a GI Bill again mm-hmm. for the 21st century. But we also, the GI Bill only provided benefits to some people, mostly white men.
Mm.
Right? It did nothing for the 17 million women who were the arsenal of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Working at home, it did very little in many areas of the country for people of color, particularly African Americans in the South. The head of the VA committee, one of the fathers of the GI Bill, I think there's no other way to say it, was an avowed racist from Northeast Mississippi. He made sure that administration of the bill would be carried out by state and local officials in the Jim Crow South.
Wow.
So very few African Americans ever got their mortgage, you know, or got, you know, their college loan.
Mm-hmm.
In other areas of the country, there were better, and I've heard stories of, you know, people of color who, like the rest, you know, like white, can trace their wealth to the GI Bill. I think, though, what was right about the GI Bill can cure what was wrong about it.
Okay.
I think we should use our existing budget for wealth-building tax incentives to fund a new GI Bill for everybody based on matched savings, which I can explain going forward, because I think we need savings. We don't need more debt. Savings for everyone, for home, business, education, retirement, and general saving, and designed to close the racial wealth divide, which is, you know, a historic result of, you know, the blindness and discrimination in not only the GI Bill, but the administration of the 30-year mortgage or the Homestead Act, to which 25% of American families can trace their wealth.
Now, talk about the matched savings. And also, I had a show, I had a book on last year, I think it was last year, about the three or four ways how to build wealth and economy, etc. And one of the things that the gentleman had in his book was about trying to work for a company that has the profit sharing, or is that something that is covered in your book as well?
I mention it. I don't probably do as well. I must say, looking through your website, there were many books that I decided, oh, I need to read that. I need to listen to your show more regularly. But I think profit sharing, I'll tell you, I think both left and right have been guilty of having too low expectations of low-income people. And so, you know, the right is often, and I think led by the president, you know, slanderous or libelous when it comes to, you know, the capacities of low-income people and people of color in particular. But I think the left, too, has tended to treat low-income people as beneficiaries, trainees, maybe employees, but never as entrepreneurs, homeowners, you know, college material, mm-hmm. creators of wealth,
mm-hmm.
producers. And that's really what I, you know, what I have seen over our history, mm-hmm. and particularly over 40 years mm-hmm. of intensive economic development demonstrations and partnerships mm-hmm. with communities, where we, you know, have shown that with as little as a few thousand dollars mm-hmm. and a little encouragement and peer support, low income, even very poor people will save, start businesses, buy and keep homes, go to college, mm-hmm. create futures for themselves mm-hmm. and the country. And we have hundreds of thousands of proof points of
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. And also, can be, you know, very industrious and come up with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the latest whatever from out of poverty. You know, they have created products and services.
Absolutely. I mean, it's true.
Yes.
So all net new jobs, uh-huh. you probably know this, all net new jobs created in this country over the last 30 years mm-hmm. have been created by new businesses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, existing businesses, large and small, grow and decline, and on average remain about the same level. It's new businesses started by entrepreneurs mm-hmm. across the income spectrum, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Steve Jobs was not a wealthy man
right.
growing up. You never know where the ideas and innovation
mm-hmm.
will come from. I think there's abundant evidence that there's tremendous effort in low-income communities, and we have a lot of evidence that suggests that low-income people are even more entrepreneurial
mm-hmm.
than upper-income people out of necessity,
mm-hmm.
if not opportunity.
All right, so y'all should be inspired. Somebody. Somebody. And that's what...
save us.
Yes, that's right. That's what we want to do during the course of this interview today with Robert Freeman. Is, you know, if you're on the edge of, you know, coming up with something, or do it, do it, and be encouraged. Now, well, when we come back from the break, a couple things I want to go into a couple of spots in here. I know we've been, you know, kicking the ball around. That's kind of how I am. I'm very conversational. I can't help it.
Right.
In chapter one, you say this is the wealth, and there's six here. I went over them earlier, but you write, real wealth is the confidence, connections, and capital to make choices, meet responsibilities to others, pursue dreams, and make mistakes, knowing it is possible to recover, learn, and try again. The enduring source of real wealth is people. So give us the overview on one and two, and then specifically I want to drill down on Donna Brazile. I was like, really? She's in this book? Oh my God. So I want to drill down on that, because, you know, she used to live here.
Yeah.
And when she was over the Gore presidential campaign. So I just never thought of her as being somebody featured in a book like this. So I'm like, oh my God, I want to hear about this story. Anyway, so we'll do that on the other side. Remind the audience that this hour's book, A Few Thousand Dollars, Sparking Prosperity for Everyone. Robert E. Freeman is my guest. We're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Well, good afternoon. I'm looking at a crash. The right lane is partially blocked. Turn off 24 eastbound at Riley Parkway. As you head south of town, there's already enough traffic. Trying to head out towards Murfreesboro right now on 24 going eastbound. It's also heading to the north now on 65, trying to get up through Madison on that ramp to Vietnam Vets. Quite busy out here in the last few minutes. 24 there up by the football stadium. This traffic report is brought to you by the United States Air Force at airforce.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And let me thank for listening the global audience that finds us at WFSKFM.org. Our book this hour is Sparking Prosperity for Everyone, A Few Thousand Dollars. Robert E. Friedman is the founder and chair emeritus of Prosperity Now, formerly the Corporation for Enterprise Development, a national economic development nonprofit founded in 1979. Now, Robert also helped create the U.S. Microenterprise and Savings and Asset Building Fields and the International Enterprise Development and Child Saving Fields. And, oh, you teach the children how to save, huh?
Well, I think every child should grow up with a nest egg.
Okay, I agree.
And we do have evidence that poor kids with a college savings account in their own name are three times more likely to attend and four times more likely to graduate, even with less than $500 in the account, because it sets the expectation.
Absolutely. So parents, get busy. Now, before the break, I talked about your chapter one on wealth, and give us the overview on that one, please.
Sure, and I hopefully it'll allow me also to answer a question you asked that I didn't answer, which was about match savings. So, I mean, I guess my first thought is that wealth is too important to be left to the wealthy. That everybody needs a nest egg. Everybody needs, you know, some economic comfort, an economic place to stand. Again, to withstand the impacts and accidents and illnesses of an increasingly volatile economy, but also, you know, the ability and a reason to think ahead and to plan ahead and an ability to invest in yourself and your kids when maybe only you believe. So we've been experimenting, Prosperity Now, for 40 years with match savings or something called individual development accounts. It goes by a lot of names. But my favorite definition was given by one welfare mom who said, "Oh, I see what you mean. You mean a 401k, except for me." Which is exactly what it is. You know, the notion of match savings is something families have been practicing for, you know, since time immemorial. You want that bike? You know, get a paper route. And I'll match you dollar for dollar toward buying that bike. And in the process, you learn about earning, you learn about money, you learn about saving. There's a lot of education that goes on. And so I think it's time, you know, and we have hundreds of thousands of people of all ages, mm-hmm. mostly low income, disproportionately women, people of color, who have gone through those match savings programs. And what happens is you not only build up savings, but you build up confidence, mm-hmm. competence, and connections. Mm. I mean, so many, you know, the lowest income people I know are multi-talented, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but they never have the opportunity to specialize, yeah. you know, to take that one skill or mm-hmm. talent that mm-hmm. they uniquely possess, mm. you know, and bring it to the marketplace. Mm. So I think, you know, the whole savings equation, mm-hmm. In the case of child accounts, which I call generation accounts, mm-hmm. I talk about, you know, the government just making endowments more for lower income people than for upper income people. But there and in all the other accounts for business, for home, for basic savings, for prosperity, I talk about match savings. So, you know, in each case, you need to save in order to get any match.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you don't save, which is not required, you don't get the match.
Right.
So in that sense, there's a quid pro quo there. Also, you need to recognize that these investments that I'm talking about, home, business, education, mm-hmm. are not self-executing. Mm-hmm. You know, you need that. Someone told me an entrepreneur is someone who's there at Saturday, you know, late on Saturday night going over the bills.
Yeah.
So it's earned, you know, it's earned entitlement. I would do it on a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the economy has not been fair across mm-hmm. the board.
Mm-hmm.
So that debt among the poorest fifth of Americans has quintupled. It has multiplied five times mm-hmm. in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need more debt. We need savings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true in individual households, and I think it's true of the nation as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, if you ask me how I would prepare for a recession if it's coming, or for the recovery that comes after, mm-hmm. I would say let's build the savings of all families.
Mm-hmm.
So they can think ahead, prepare ahead, and have some way, you know, to
survive.
Absorb
yeah.
what may happen.
Because if not, you end up in those cash advance places, and they take you, rob you blind. They might as well
Absolutely.
Wear a mask and a gun, because they are a bunch of crooks. X, what do you want to say?
Sir, what are your thoughts on sort of this generation where most people who are entrepreneurs. In other words, we have a generation of people who are looking to be independent and not necessarily part of the traditional
mm-hmm.
job as we've known it in the United States. And so therefore they don't, those are those group of people that because of how they thought, you had to have the mandate in for health care. And so you had to find a different way of enforcing that law on some of those individuals. But what are your thoughts on just how the entrepreneurs, the one who are
mm-hmm.
doing things differently, are affecting the job pool and the job market?
So once again, I couldn't agree with you more. And just a few points to elaborate what you've already advanced. One is, I think we need to think about people, including
mm-hmm.
low-income people, as potential entrepreneurs, not just job takers, but job makers. In
mm-hmm.
fact, that's what they are. And often, you know, and I think my fundamental hypothesis is people have much greater capacity and ability than they have opportunity in this so-called land of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All the net new jobs, as I mentioned before, for the last 30 years have been coming from new business. It's time we appreciate that. And we also need to recognize that the primary way new businesses are financed is out of personal savings and savings of friends, family, associates.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are someone with an amazing idea and ability, but no savings, the road is just that much harder.
Yeah, yeah.
And we deny everybody the benefits mm-hmm. of your entrepreneurial talent. I want to add one other thing. The two or three youngest generations today are mm-hmm. the first generations in our recent memory to be likely to do worse than their parents.
Wow, that's deep. That is
you
so
know,
deep.
And mm-hmm. you juxtapose that against what X suggested, which is I do believe that these new generations mm-hmm. are our hope and our future.
Yes.
We are as prepared and idealistic mm-hmm. and talented as any generation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things that hopefully they realize is to be a little more frugal and not to just buy because it's the thing, because that's where they're losing all their money is buying all that expensive stuff to keep up with, you know, everybody. That's just my thought on that. Now, I want to take you to a couple of scenarios of the people in the book. Do you have your book with you, Robert?
You know what? I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, let me ask you. Maybe you can remember their stories.
Yeah,
in,
I do.
in the education chapter on page 61 is Juliet Garcia. What's her story? What's her story?
So it's a great story, I think. And thank you. I do, as you know, intersperse about 24 stories in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Alaska once, and they told me the shortest distance between two people is a story. and I believe that. And there are people, you know, who have come mostly from poverty and have achieved great things. But I think that's the common economic hero that I believe in, or shero, as mm-hmm. in the case. Juliet Garcia's family was driven out of Mexico by Pancho Villa.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents were a janitor and a maid. They worked their whole lives. He rose to be a key employee of Pan American Airlines, but never made that much money.
Mm-hmm.
But they both were on their way to college. They couldn't afford it. And they took religiously $5 out of every paycheck for a college fund for their five kids,
mm-hmm.
including Juliet. And whenever the kids would identify, they knew. They grew up knowing there was that savings and knowing the value that their parents placed on education.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked really hard. But they could come up with ideas of how to use that money, like, couldn't we get an extra bedroom or something? And her dad, Romeo, would say, ese dinero no se toca. This money you can't take.
Hmm.
All five kids went to college. Juliet Garcia became the first Latina president of a major university.
Hmm.
She dreams in South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
She dreams and I'm sure will not stop until every kid in Texas has a college savings account.
Awesome.
For their own future.
Awesome. Awesome. That's a great, great story. Awesome. Now, I just know I hear my music, so that means I don't have long.
Oh, sorry.
So I must quickly move to Donna Brazile in the prosperity section of your book. I never mm-hmm. really thought, I don't know why I never dwelled on her money. I'm just dwelling on the stuff that she's done politically. So why did you include her in your book?
Well, she's a friend, and she's an inspiration,
mm-hmm.
and I know a lot of people know the political story. People don't know the economic Donna,
mm-hmm.
the Donna that grew up in a very poor, large Louisiana, New Orleans family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was entrepreneurial from day one,
mm-hmm.
and I think by high school, maybe middle school, was operating five businesses. She was doing taxes for people. She was running a messenger service. She was employing half the neighborhood, as far as I can tell.
Wow.
She even got, you know, the leftover gizzards and innards from the butcher and created a bait business out of that.
Mm.
She financed her way through college. She has financed college scholarships for her whole family, mm-hmm. you know, for all of her nieces and nephews. And when she gets speaking engagements now, she devotes a portion of her proceeds to scholarships.
Wow.
So Donna is a one-person match college savings account for lots of folks. And, you know, I think both, I mean, she's, I think she's a representative of the talent that's too often buried. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has succeeded and had to reinvent herself many times.
Oh, no kidding.
But does it with generosity.
Yeah.
And recognizing the talent of others.
Mm. And, you know, I'm reading here in this part of the book where you say it took her 10 years to save up enough money for a down payment and closing costs for her home. She brought it and bought it in 1992 for $165,000. She sold it 20 years later for $800,000. Go, Donna.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. Oh, holy cow. So she also made very wise investments, too, huh?
Yeah, and probably, and she would admit, too, she was a little lucky on the timing. You know, I feel badly for especially a lot of African-Americans who bought homes just before 2008.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a time, I mean, even then, over the long term, they appreciate, but also because of discrimination and redlining,
mm-hmm.
homes in black neighborhoods don't always appreciate as much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just want to make the point that home ownership and the home market
mm-hmm.
is something we design. 120 mm-hmm. years ago, only 10% of Americans owned their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government created the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the other mortgage production organizations. We brought home ownership in the purview of the middle class. And so now, on average, 2/3 of Americans own their own homes, but a full 90% mm-hmm. dream of owning their own homes.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, a home is more than a house.
Yes,
it's
oh,
the
yes.
future. It's an incubator.
Oh, definitely.
And there are huge disparities,
uh-huh.
as you know, between whites, again,
yes.
and people of color.
Yes.
Whites own 72.5% of whites own their own home, only 43% of African Americans. That's not because of lack of desire
right.
or talent. It's because of
Amen.
The way we've built the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
We can rebuild it.
Amen. Well, I feel good about that. I mean, and we can and we shall. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to throw in that caveat in that what you just said about the neighborhoods and the things, gentrification has arrived in the black communities that are close to downtown areas all over the country. So
mm-hmm.
if that's leveraged and played right, that could work well for the communities of color if they don't sell out and run out and skip out before. Am I right or wrong on that?
I think you're very right on that. And I would have to say, as a privileged old white guy,
mm-hmm.
I have enormous respect and appreciation for the talent that resides in the black community,
mm-hmm.
in all communities, and the grace of having experienced, you know, 3 centuries more of discrimination and not giving up.
Yeah.
And I think the whole nation has a huge amount to gain if everybody has a chance.
Amen. Now, we all can touch and agree on that one for sure. And I tell you what, Robert, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, okay? And
so have I.
I really
appreciate it. I want, you know, right now, the federal government is giving away an average of $2,200 a year to every man, woman, child in the country, or that's, you know, that's the average of the $729 billion we'll spend. But it's not going to everybody. I would love all your listeners to demand their $2,200.
Well, let me, we're going to
schedule
him back.
Country.
No, we're going to schedule you back because we're going to find out how to get our $2,200. I need to, yeah. We're going to have him back. so we can get the secrets. Because, you know, I know that...
Your office line ringing now.
Yeah. Like, I got 2,700...
Concrete, yeah. You know?
We definitely, Robert, give everybody your information. I will, of course, put your cover and everything on the website like I do everybody else. But tell the audience where to find out about the book and you, etc.
So you can find the book hopefully at your local bookstore, but you can find it on Amazon as well.
Okay.
It's a few thousand dollars, Sparking Prosperity for Everyone. And you can also find out about Prosperity Now and the rigorous demonstrations around the country on entrepreneurship, homeownership, education, and other things, saving and debt reduction and credit repair at prosperitynow.org.
Okay, .org. Yeah, we'll expect an email or a phone call, okay?
Okay, great. Well, I really enjoyed this. Okay. I really thank you
for having me on. You are welcome. You are welcome. Let me thank
and
again.
And I would welcome any...
inquiries.
Any comments.
Okay, if anybody wants to send him an email or, you know, tell him you enjoyed listening to him, please do that. And this interview will be on the podcast on probably tomorrow or next day, y'all. Go to SharonKays401.com. Now, I do want to thank you so much for sticking and staying and being with us. And we'll have this hour's guest and last hour's guest back up later down the road a bit. So we stretch out a little bit more. And we can find out about them $2,200. trust and believe, baby. I'm on that. I'm on that. ASAP. Anyway, you all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411.